eight.
All right,
seven,
Rock Podcast.
Six,
let's go.
Five,
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy Anelli here with another amazing Croc podcast for the greatest, bravest, and most fearless individuals in the world, our cancer survivors slash thrivers. Joining me, as always, my incredibly intrepid Tonto to the Lone Ranger, Robin to my Batman, Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Angel, I understand you have some news for us today.
Listen, for the Croc Nation, if you don't know this, aside from this amazing podcast that we're on every Sunday at 9 a.m., Dr. E does a 1-2 punch and follows up with a Monday episode at Have Faith, Let It Begin, my podcast. And we just found out, not more than an hour ago, before we went on the air today, we have hit $1.2 million views on one of our episodes. It was our inaugural six season episode 3, but our first Monday episode. Hey, listen, thank you very much, because I wouldn't have done that without you. It just goes to show you that we're officially viral. We've gone viral.
That's awesome. Congratulations, Angel, and I'm so proud of you and so happy for you. And actually, today's podcast is going to sort of be a little bit of a Have Faith, Let It Begin, as well as a Croc podcast. You might even want to put excerpts on your podcast, because today is a spiritual podcast, and it's going to be sort of following on the coattails of last week's podcast, where we discussed whether or not patients would feel comfortable if their doctors, you know, were to get sort of caught up in their emotions and maybe have a tear or cry with you. And today we're going to be talking about whether or not patients feel comfortable having their doctors pray with them. And I know that this is a very, very, another controversial podcast. But what our goal is here, and Angel will tell you, is to tackle these very controversial and very visceral subjects, because all we care about is the cancer survivor slash thriver having all of the information they need to have the best life, to live their best life always, and to have a wonderful survivorship. Angel, this is something that's near and dear to both of our hearts, because we're both spiritual people. I have always credited you of awakening my spiritual giant within me a couple of years ago. And I love being on the Have Faith, Let It Begin podcast. And even when you were sick one week, I think I led us all in prayer. And we're going to be talking about prayer, but not in the context of just an inspirational podcast for the general public, but more specifically, you know, for our cancer survivors and thrivers. I want to talk to you a little bit about, I always try to give credit to the sources that I use for our podcasts. Today's source is from an article that I read in the journal called Chest, and it was sort of a point counterpoint editorial on whether or not your doctors, if it was okay for your doctors to pray with you. And the authors are Frosch and Curlin from Vanderbilt and Duke, published in 2021, in case anyone is interested. And hopefully we'll be able to get that link for you guys on our website. So Angel, without further ado, we're going to get going. And I want to talk a little bit about a disclaimer. So the disclaimer we have for today's podcast, because it is ripe with volcanic information, this is a non-denominational podcast, and we always want everyone to feel safe, and we want to be inclusionary, and we don't want to, marginalize anyone. And I will say that this is a safe place. So when we speak about prayer, I want everyone to know that we respect your belief system, whatever that belief system is. And I want to make sure that it's a wide open, it's wide open for you guys, and you feel great. There's going to be a few times on today's podcast where I'm going to ask Angel to give me his perspective. And there is one specific story that I'm going to tell you about myself you know, a very personal story. And again, we're going to have a bit of a Christian bias because that's our belief system. That's our background. So that would be the only time that today's subject matter would be biased. And I'm going to do the best I can to be as unbiased as possible. And lastly, I want to start out by saying, when we talk about prayer with patience, there's going to be a yes side. There's going to be a no side, and we're going to review both. And I want to let you guys know there is no right or wrong answer. We're not here to advocate on either side, even though I do have a bit of a personal side that I'll share you my thoughts. But with that being said, I want everybody to know that whatever position you happen to be on, we understand and respect your position. So let's talk a little bit, Angel, about the structure of today's podcast. So when I came up to practice here 35 years ago, up in the Hudson Valley, I really wanted to grow my practice. So I got to know all the doctors in the Hudson Valley. And I really put a lot of time and effort to get to know the general practitioners, because the general practitioners would be the people that would care for our beautiful patients before they got cancer. And then when they got cancer, I wanted to let them know that I was more than happy and actually humbled and thrilled and profoundly grateful to take care of their patients. So I would do what would be called the famous Dr. Iannelli Christmas popcorn run, where I would call the popcorn factory and I would order 100 big buckets of popcorn. And I would, take 1 or 2 days off, and I'd have my partner cover for me. And I would load up the back of my Jeep with these popcorns. And I would go to each office in the Hudson Valley and I would deliver my popcorn. And I got to know everybody quite well. And they all got to know me because they loved this popcorn. For those our foodie survivors, yes, there was a 3-pack. There was the caramel, there was the butter, and there was the cheddar cheese. So yes, that's what it was. But sorry, I digress. So there was a physician in Washingtonville, New York, by the name of Frank Imbarato, and I'm not ashamed to use his name. Frank is a dear friend and a mentor to me. And a person, you know, when I talk about Christianity, and again, not to be denominational, but because I am a Christian, I talk about living Christianity. And I see so many posers, so many people who tell me they're Christians, so many people, you know, who are, you know, holier than thou, who are so full of BS that's not even funny. And then I talk about people like Angel, who actually not just are Christians, but they live their life in a Christian way. They're living Christians. They live their lives. They walk the walk and they talk the talk. So with that being said, Frank Imbarato was one of the first people that I ever met that was openly, not afraid to go out on a limb and pray with his patients. And he always prayed with his patients. He was probably more of a spiritual healer than he was as a medical healer. He became very important in the Christian Medical Society in the Hudson Valley chapter, which I was part of. And I would go to meetings with him, and, you know, I was friends with him, and he would have Bible study. And I've been to a few of those before he moved and retired and moved. And Frank was very, very instrumental in my life as a young doctor in the Hudson Valley. So this subject about prayer with patient is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart from my personal perspective, which we'll get to at the end of the podcast, as well as my my roots in medicine. As a matter of fact, my roots in medicine and Christianity actually go back to the Christian medical club in medical school, where we would have lunches and talk about the Bible and that type of thing. So we'll talk about that later as well. But the way it's going to go is that Frank is the inspiration, and I dedicate this podcast to Frank. But I do want to talk about the ground rules for the podcast. So there's going to be a universal constant. The universal constant is that always, 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 prayer should be at the control of the patient. The patient should be in control of prayer. It should be initiated by the patient. It should be centered around the patient. It should be directed to the patient, and it really shouldn't have anything to do with us. You know, even if we are the ones leading the prayer as the healers, it doesn't mean that we are going to put our own needs or whatever. It's strictly centered on the patient, number one. Number two is that there are some instances where prayer is not appropriate. So psychiatric patients, if there's patients where we feel that the prayer may be misinterpreted, or it might be toxic to the patient or cause harm, especially to a delusional patient, obviously there are going to be people that prayer is not appropriate for. Also, we're not looking for situations where the healer or the doctor is looking to convert a patient or to evangelize to a patient or recruit a patient or be a missionary. That's a subject for a different day. And believe me, Dr. Imbarato has gone on thousands, obviously that's an exaggeration, has gone on dozens of medical missions to third world countries. Again, not to recruit anybody to be, spiritual, but really to do God's work. And that is to care for people who don't have access to medical care. So hats off to Frank Imbarato. I hope we can find him, Angel, and maybe send him this podcast, because he was a very huge influence in my life and my career. And God bless you, Frank. So with that being said, let's talk about the two sides of the coin. So there are two sides to the coin, and we'll start with the first side, and that's the traditional view of the medical model. So it's the Hippocratic model, derives from Plato and Aristotle, down through the Jews, the Stoics, the Christians, and all the Muslims, and everybody in between that were practicing medicine over the centuries, where the physician-patient relationship is characterized by a shared purpose. And that purpose was specifically for the best interest, the healing of the patient. There was a mutual vulnerability where the patient was ill, obviously making them vulnerable, and the physician acting, for the good of the patient, but also with the, this is huge and very important, this is the catch for the whole podcast, acting with a finite ability to heal and relieve suffering, meaning that we can't fix everybody and we can't make everybody better. And that is our vulnerability, as well as being the observer to the vulnerability of the patient. So this is a creation. It's so beautiful. It's the creation of a moral friendship. This is a relationship between a healer and a patient where there is a bond that causes or forms this moral friendship between the two people. And it's a bi-directional trust. The doctor is trusting the patient and the patient is trusting the doctor. And it's beautiful. Now, the second, side is the provider of services view, which is the opposite side. Now, even though this is the side that I'm going to advocate for personally, it's still absolutely appropriate and I completely get it. So when I'm making the descriptions, they may sound like I'm sort of putting it down or trying to put the side one over side two. Not at all. I completely get it. And anyone who's out there who may not have a belief system or believe in a higher power, that's completely fine as well. And I get it. I understand your point of view and there's nothing wrong with it. As a matter of fact, there's a lot to be said for it. So without further ado, we'll talk about the provider of service view. These individuals believe that medicine is not a moral practice, but really the expert provision of services. So I'll tell you a quick story about a doctor that I knew personally, and I interviewed a brilliant guy from MIT, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And when he came and spent the day with me to interview, and I would, be talking to him, and then the nurse would come in and grab me, and I'd go see a patient, and then they would, come back, and I would talk, and then go back out and see a patient. He goes, "Why are you seeing all these patients?" I said, "Well, I go in and examine patients and talk to patients. He goes, well, why are you doing that? You don't need to do that. You can do everything right from your, you know, right from your office. You have the films, you know, you do your physics, you do your planning. You really don't have to ever talk or speak or touch a patient. And I thought, wow, you know, that's, you know, certainly a different thought process, right? And certainly more in line with this technocratic, you know, point of view. And rather than an objective good for the patient, advocating for an objective, you know, good that is for the health of the patient, this model rather aims at what patients desire, as long as it's legal and technically possible. And the physicians are not viewed or do not view themselves as healers, but as providers. And the patients are not really viewed as patients, they're viewed as consumers. So it's not the creation of a moral friendship, but instead there's a detachment. There's not a trust model. It's a provider-consumer, moral strangers, compartmentalized view rather than an integrated view. And I know that sounds terribly cold, but I will say this in favor of that, and I totally get it. Many, many people, and this goes back to the 1960s when there was the famous Supreme Court fight about whether or not we should say a prayer in school and we should take school, you know, prayer out of school and not do the Pledge of Allegiance and all that type of thing, and which actually won the day, believe it or not. But the thought process is school is not for God, right? School is school and God is God. So you don't mix the two. And it's kind of funny because this country, you know, was developed or formed on that provision of having a belief. But, you know, in medicine, and again, it could get very hairy when you start sort of blurring those boundaries between the doctor and the patient and you become too chummy, or, you know, bad things could happen. I've seen it happen where, you know, patients, you know, get too connected with the person. You know, I mean, there's so many things and you lose sort of that, you know, that ability to be clinically, you know, adept and lose that therapeutic advantage. And I completely get it. The other argument, which is completely fair, is that doctors are not experts in spirituality. They have experts. They're called chaplains and they have deacons. And prayer is not a technical intervention. It's something that's completely different. So for those practitioners, and there are many of them who believe there is no place for prayer in medicine, I get it. Meaning that's someone else's job. That not my job, man. It's somebody else's job, right? That's the chaplain's job. So I completely get that. And in certain circumstances, prayer can be harmful. We talked about prayer in the psychiatric patient. Sometimes there's the blurring of boundaries. Sometimes the physician who's doing the prayer can bias, you know, the patient toward their own belief system. You know, we don't have as physicians experience in diversity and tolerance. I mean, we are doctors. We see everyone, whoever comes into our room. I've had to take care of murderers. I've had to take care of criminals. I've had to take care of really, really bad, nasty, terrible people. And it really doesn't matter. You still have to take care of them, but we still are not trained in diversity and tolerance. And people also think about this, Angel, people who would be most, you know, the most, what would you say, numerous in asking for prayer are those who would be what's called in Latin in extremis. So in extremis means that they're like at the end of their rope, they're very, very sick. And the paper that was in Chest, the paper we're using as sort of our guideline, you know, specifically talks about patients in an ICU setting. And I thought it would be appropriate also for our cancer survivors, because cancer survivors are also in extremis, right? Quote unquote, in extremis. And it may, you know, they may want someone to help broker a deal with God. You know, it's like they may have led a terrible life and they're looking for someone like to forgive them of their sins, or to help them, you know, be a broker to say, hey, God, you know, give this guy another. If you heal me, God, you know, I'm going to live a whole different life. It's going to be like a wonderful life, you know, with George Bailey and the whole thing, you know. So you have to be careful that there's not a tangible risk of harm by interjecting prayer. And the other thing is, this is really important. We don't want patients to lose their autonomy. We want them always to be not being influenced by an external. It's like the Star Trek episodes where they're not allowed to show a primitive civilization, you know, the Starship Enterprise, and, you know, they sink the Starship Enterprise in an ocean. So the natives don't see it, but of course, with Captain Kirk, he doesn't follow rules. All the natives see the Enterprise and it changes their destiny. So, but we don't want to take away that autonomy, right? All kidding aside. But I will say this, the chaplain is not always going to be around. So what do you do if a patient's in need and there's no chaplain and you're the only guy between, you know, that patient and, a feeling of peace or something that could help them spiritually to be able to achieve, that inner peace. And I do have a retort, you know, going back to the traditional model. And this is, again, where I'm going to interject a little bit of my bias. Our bodies are a miracle. Whether you're an evolutionist, not a word, just make them up. If you believe in evolution or if you believe in creation, it's really, you know, unimportant and irrelevant to this podcast. Because in my 35 years of medicine, the number one source of my fascination and my passion is actually, you know, of being a healer, is my absolute obsession with the way the body works and how the body works, whether it be the anatomy or the physiology or the biochemistry or our embryology or the way our brain is wired. It is completely unexplainable to me how all of these things could be working. Like, I don't know why we don't walk down the street and like three or four people walking in front of us just don't drop dead because one of their gizmos in their bodies just gives out. I mean, it makes no sense that we're able to, you know, go to a Mets game when Angel and I went to the Hall, you know, the old timers game last year. And we were sitting there with 50,000 people, like 25,000 of them should have just dropped dead. Because it's just our bodies are so complex, and it begs the question, you know, is there a higher power? And it may have, you know, been one of the things that kind of buoyed my belief system. And then in medicine, as in every walk of life, there's the unexplainable. There are things that happen. There are coincidences. I would even dare to say that I've seen miracles. I've seen people that had no business, you know, living and being cured and living, and just could not explain it. So there's just too much unexplainable stuff out there in the medical world. And this belief that, you know, maybe for some people, again, not for everybody, right, but for me, that there has to be a higher power, whatever that higher power might be. And to paraphrase from the article, I really love this, you know, prayer is not a technical intervention. It's a religious practice, and it is offered not for the purposes of efficacy, but as a response to the reality of a shared relationship and vulnerability and mutual dependence between the healer and the patient. And it is a moral gesture, not a medical gesture, of a clinician who is aware of their own humanity and aware and stand with the patient before God, acknowledging our shortcomings and our lack of control over life and death. And that gives no lack of respect to that trauma surgeon who, you know, takes an 18-year-old kid who's just torn to pieces in a car accident and puts them back together and saves their life and throws and thrusts their hands into the thoracic cavity and massages the heart back to life and all these things. I mean, despite that, there are things, and this is a Cancer Survivor Thriver podcast, so you guys get it. You know, sometimes that cure is not available to us, no matter what our technical availabilities are. And, you know, the ending to this podcast is going to be very difficult for me because it's a personal one. And I think it's really important for our podcast listeners to always know that Angel and I will always tell you a personal story, whether it puts us in good light or bad light. It's unimportant as long as it helps somebody out there. And who I'm hoping to help isn't necessarily the survivor, but it's the healer. It's not whether or not we may agree with prayer, which I happen to, but are we brave enough to actually execute that belief? Because when a physician, when a healer does offer that, that is not an easy thing to do. I think Frank Imbarato is one of the bravest healers I've ever met because he was always willing to put it all out there, to lay his beliefs on the line, no matter what anybody would, you know, call him a quack or call him a knucklehead or tell him that he was, you know, completely overstepping his boundaries as a doctor. I mean, that takes a great amount of bravery. And I'm going to give you the story. I'm going to call this person Bernadette. And this just happened to happen this week. And it's perfect for the podcast, even though I kind of knew I was going to do this podcast on prayer. But we're going to talk about Bernadette. So Bernadette and I know each other for 10 years. And she has very, very aggressive, terrible breast cancer that started metastatic. So it started at stage 4. And for 10 years, between me and the oncologist, we've been keeping her going and we've been spot welding her and just basically keeping her in the game, not just medically, but also as her friend, as her comrade, as someone who really brought a very positive attitude to her case. And it really helped. So for 10 years, she absolutely had the best life she could have under the circumstances. And I am so proud of that because by the time this podcast airs, Bernadette will no longer be with us on this earth. She'll be in a much better place. But when I went to go say goodbye to her the other day, you know, and I was very hesitant to because I knew she would get very upset because she and I have always been, our relationship has always been a very positive one, upbeat and always optimistic. And now, you know, she was reaching out to hospice and hospice was going to start and she knew that her days were numbered and she couldn't breathe. And I knew that she was either going to be on this earth one or two more days. And I went to go say goodbye. And on one side, I was really happy that no one was there at that moment because she must have had the whole room full of her children and her partner and everybody else. And I went in there and I was all alone. And when she was asleep and when she woke up and she saw me, she started to cry. And she started to cry because she knew that this was a goodbye. And she knew that we had a very special thing that she and I shared as a patient and a healer. And we've been through a lot of tough times, but now, you know, the fight was over. And it was absolutely the perfect, perfect opportunity for me to lead her in prayer and to me make her feel better. And I have to tell you, I failed. I did not take the opportunity to pray with her. And it's not that I'm someone like a Saint Peter who denied their belief, but I just didn't have it in me to do it. And it comes from, you know, having had a mother, you know, who was pretty much an atheist until I was 17 and then became a very charismatic Christian. And in those days, in the 1970s, It rocked the entire world because we were kind of Catholics that were very laissez-faire. We weren't in everybody's face, and she was in everybody's face too. And that was a very positive thing. She took a lot of broken people and she brought them to the Lord. And I really admire her for that. But that wasn't the way I was wired. And she used guilt, you know, when I wouldn't be charismatic and evangelistic, and even would be guilted. If I was in someone else's home, my mother would guilt me into saying grace for the entire table. And not that I would be afraid to say grace. It was just that it wasn't my house and I didn't feel comfortable. And if I didn't, or if I felt uncomfortable or didn't want to do it, I almost felt like, you know, I was being judged as being someone who was not a good Christian or being a good spiritual person. And in that moment, I almost had in deep inside of me, you know, I had this buried love of God, this buried love of spirituality. And my dear angel who reawakened that spirituality really made me more comfortable with that side of me. But I really felt that even with Angel, even with Frank and Barato, I just wasn't able to muster up the courage to take advantage of that opportunity. And I do regret that. But I will end the podcast on a positive note. I will say that I believe that Bernadette, and I know she will be in glory 100%. And I know that she will motivate me because I know the next time I'm in that situation, I know that I will take the hand of that patient and I will say a prayer if they want me to. Angel?
I mean, on a personal note, it's the first time I've heard that story. Obviously, you didn't share that with me offline. I would say, and I'm close enough to you to tell you that I would never say something that you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. I would say that spiritually, on my opinion, you didn't fail because you went in there with the intention to do that prayer. And sometimes prayer doesn't have to be done out loud. It can be done internally, and it doesn't have to be in a formal setting. So deep down inside, you were praying for her, with her, without having to say it out loud. So when you look at it from that point of view, you really didn't fail. That's number one. Number two, it's a very tough subject to talk about prayer in a hospital setting. As we both know, we work there. There are programs in, you know, that are out there called No One Dies Alone. We have that in our hospital. It's a non-denominational, it's a chance for somebody to be there with them in their last moments. That being said, we have to remember that in the spiritual aspect, that person is not alone. So with you being in that room and, you know, her being the patient in the room with you, there was a third person there. That third person was with you both spiritually and motivationally. One was there to let you know that she was not alone and she was not going to go through these situations in a negative way. So, you know, for all the people out there that are dealing with cancer, this, and they're listening to this episode, and those that are dealing with the hard parts of cancer, because as we stated from the very beginning, when we went on this journey, you know, just because you hear the word cancer doesn't mean that it's over. But unfortunately, there are some patients that have a shorter journey, and we wish they could be a lot longer, but when they does come to pass and does come to that ending, we want to hope and pray that there is someone out there for them to guide them and to let them know that there is a path to righteousness. I want to close out by saying the following. You know, it doesn't matter if it's raining or the sun is shining. Each day is a beautiful day. Each day is a gift. Each day has opportunities. Each day we can be an encourager. Each day we can choose to bring peace. We can choose to bring love and calmness into the lives around us. Each day we can choose to be the sunshine in the life of someone. If you hear this episode today, know this. We at the Croc Podcast love you, the cancer survivors, and their families unconditionally because you are beautiful to us.
Angel, that was the most beautiful, beautiful, response. You know, as we end each podcast, I always get your point of view. I thank you for that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to actually go straight to our blessing because there's nothing further that I could add to that beautiful moment that you just shared with us. So on behalf of Angel from Have Faith, Let It Begin, and the entire board of directors at the Croc Nation, and for all of you wonderful survivors, we always wish you the same thing every week. And I am not ashamed and I am not cowardly to offer this to you. We wish you a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.